Good morning, St. Paul's. I am not Reverend Erin Fitzgerald, which you can clearly tell. She is up north at the concluding day of the Michigan Annual Conference. And Pastor Erdley, our senior pastor, has asked me to read a letter telling you some of the updates of what's going on in Traverse City over these past few days. I was there Thursday, Friday, and got back last night. So here goes. Dear St. Paul's, greetings from the Michigan Annual Conference being held at the Grand Traverse Resort near Traverse City. It has been a busy first 3 days of worship, reports, meetings, and voting. Your church, lay, and clergy delegates have been active participants. Throughout our time together, there has been a spirit of Christian conferencing guiding our conversations and deliberations. Bishop Bard has led the conference with grace, wisdom, and authenticity. His leadership continues to be a blessing to all of us in Michigan. Thus far, we have heard reports from the recently held 2019 General Conference and its impact upon our denomination. Elected clergy and lay delegates for the 2020 General Conference in Minnesota and the 2020 Jurisdictional Conference in Indiana. Approved candidates for commissioning and ordination, including the Reverend Joel Fitzgerald, Pastor Erin's husband, and someone you know, the Reverend John Reynolds. Isn't that great? Isn't that right? For both those guys. They will be ordained today as elders. We also celebrated the retirements of clergy persons, including the Reverend Barbara Wellbaum, a child of St. Paul's. Took a non-binding straw poll where the majority of attendees expressed non-support, I didn't say that clearly, for the results of the 2019 General Conference. Passed resolutions affirming the desire to be faithful to our Wesleyan tradition of welcoming all people into God's grace and recognizing God's call within their lives. As Bishop Bard wisely stated, this is a conference of many emotions. Every decision made is one where some are pleased and others are disappointed. In the midst of the diversity of opinion on many important issues, people have listened respectfully and treated one another with dignity. And I can attest to that. That's a blessing beyond description. Today is the concluding day of the conference, and as you worship this morning, the district superintendents will give their reports. Bishop Bard will set the clergy appointments for the coming year. The 2020 conference budget will be approved, and then conference will conclude with the always joyful service of recognition, commissioning, and ordination. We will be sharing reports about this year's annual conference during the June 16th worship services. We are grateful for your prayers on behalf of the Michigan Annual Conference and for our church as together we continue leading people to become faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, Reverend David Erdley, Senior Pastor. If you'd like to talk about what's been going on at the conference, I can tell you my perspective after this service. I'll be in the back there. I am Reverend Rick Kress, and I have the pleasure of talking to you today, leading off a series called God in Nature. God in Nature. When you're taking a vacation this summer, maybe you're going to be going to the mountains, maybe to the ocean, maybe you're going somewhere in between. But wherever you go, nature will be there. And in nature, you can find God. And you can learn things that will benefit you for your full lives on vacation and not on vacation. I'm going to show you some pictures that our family took, sort of a very quick photo album of the Kress family trips to the Canadian Rockies. This is sort of on the edge of it, Mount Rainier near Seattle. It's a volcano. And it dominates the whole view from Seattle. You can see it from a long way off. This is Mount Edith in Banff, Alberta, in that area. So beautiful with those striations, how the snow collects. This is Mount Rundle, also near Banff, Alberta. That picture looks fake, but it isn't. That's just the way mountains look sometimes. They're so picturesque. And as the water hits it differently, it changes colors. And if you look closely here, you can see a pond at the bottom with the mountain reflected in it. Pretty cool, isn't it? And of course, wildlife all over the place. These are bighorn sheep, and that is a level photograph. These critters are amazing. My jaw just went, wow, when I see them walking those sheer cliffs, running, jumping. It's amazing. And even the little ones, they don't seem to have any problem with it. Mountains get a lot of snow, and as the snow melts, it filters downstream into little streams of water. And it's so picturesque. And the sounds of the streams drowns out everything else, and it's so soothing. I feel like I'm on vacation just thinking about it. Then you get all the little critters that scurry back and forth. This is actually a squirrel, even though it kind of resembles a chipmunk. And some of them are tame, and they'll come up and eat out of your hand. You just have to make sure they only take the food. And then sometimes unexpected things happen in the mountains. We stopped at a gathering of bighorn sheep that were at the side of the road. And you're not supposed to feed these animals. There are signs all over, but I kind of did anyway. And had the windows rolled down, and I was tossing some things out, and they were on that side. And I looked over to my right, and right in front of Marilyn was a bighorn sheep. This is a photograph I took of how close that one was. I'm sure Marilyn screamed. So you get surprised. And sometimes the surprise is in the form of fog that just rolls in out of nowhere. You can have a sunny day and then suddenly you're enveloped in fog up in the mountains. It is so tremendous to see that happening. In Alberta, there are glaciers that were 10,000 years old when Jesus was born. Now think about that. And as they melt, they filter into these glacier lakes, and the water is that clear. That's almost a little out of focus, but it's so inspirational to see what God can do. This is Marilyn's favorite place on earth, she tells me. This is Moraine Lake in Alberta, and these are the 10 peaks that were once an even higher mountain range. And that lake that is below it is the runoff from the glacier that was once covering it. Sometimes you run into waterfalls. It just goes to the edge of the mountain and goes right over. The sound of that is also incredible. Sometimes these glacier lakes take unusual shapes. This is Peyto Lake in Alberta as well. Don't you want to go to the Canadian Rockies now? It's so much to take in. Then on the other side of the continent, we have Mount Washington in New Hampshire. Has anyone been there? It is the windiest place on earth. The highest winds ever recorded were on Mount Washington, 231 miles an hour. They literally chain the buildings to the ground so they don't disappear. That's intense. But God made it all. It's wonderful to behold. Now, you may know, how can you not know, that I love birds. There's even scripture to support this. I know every bird on the mountains from Psalm 50. I love that verse because I love the birds that I see. In Arizona, there is a mountain called Mount Lemmon near Tucson. And I went up this mountain one time. there are different life zones, meaning that different things live at different elevations. Down in the desert, you have one kind of ecosystem, and at the very top, it's totally different. In the bottom, it can be 90 degrees when you leave to go up the mountain, and at the top, there's snow skiing. Pretty cool. I want to show you a few birds that I saw on my trip on Mount Lemmon. This is a little bird that loves to be on cacti. It's called a verdin. It's about that big, it's hyperactive, and it moves around. It's gorgeous, just beautiful. As you go a little higher up the mountain, you run into the acorn woodpecker. It spends its life drilling holes in trees, finding acorns, and then stuffing the acorns in the holes. It's spectacular to watch it at work. It never stops. This is a Clark's nutcracker, which is the size of a hawk or a big crow. It will come and eat out of your hand as well. When we were in Alberta, I would feed it peanuts, and it would come right up to it. And then at the very highest elevation, you get the peregrine falcon. It is the fastest animal on Earth. Although it's not on Earth when it's the fastest animal. It dives in this bullet shape at 170 miles an hour. It's incredible. God made it all. I think God must have just enjoyed being in his workshop creating all these different things over time. Jesus had an appreciation for the mountains too. The Gospels tell us that he very often left the crowds and went up into the mountains to be alone to pray. The scripture says one day soon afterward, after a full day of healing people and teaching people, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. In a mountain, it's easy to lose track of time, especially in the dark. You hear all the different noises, but you can concentrate. You can refresh yourself, and you can go back renewed. It's a lonely place on the mountains, but sometimes we need lonely. This is an African cultural depiction of the Transfiguration when Jesus went up a mountain and was joined by Elijah and Moses and some disciples there in the corner. Today is Ascension Day when Jesus left the earth, left his disciples with the Great Commission to go and make disciples from a mountain. It's very significant in Jesus' life. So we can go to the mountains for inspiration. There's plenty to be inspired about when you're in nature with God. I feel really close to God when I'm there. Church is beautiful, but when I'm out in the mountains or in a forest, that's God's cathedral to me, and I really feel the vibration there. It can be inspirational, but we also understand mountains as a metaphor for things that trouble us. We talk about mountains in our way. How many mountains are you facing right now? Maybe it's a tough family situation. That's a mountain. Maybe there's a health concern. That's a mountain that you're facing. Financial decisions. That's another mountain. Whatever it is that is troubling you the most can seem as big as a mountain. And so a mountain can be inspirational, but you can also approach it in desperation. And that's what one of the people of the Bible wound up doing. Here's the thing, the lesson that I want you to take home today. With Christ, the mountain does not win. I want you to say that with me right now, and I'll ask you a couple of times to repeat it with me. And I want you to do the hand motion too, because I want you to remember this. With Christ, the mountain does not win. Let's try it again. With Christ, the mountain does not win. And I hope you can take that home in just a few minutes. There is this dude named Elijah. You've probably heard of him. He was a prophet. He was very excitable, very enthusiastic. And he won a great victory for God against the prophets of the false god Baal. And then things turned around real fast, and the authorities were out for him. They wanted to kill him. And so he ran to the desert, and he thought he could seek refuge in Mount Sinai, the same place where Moses received the Ten Commandments in the Torah. And so he worked his way there with people chasing him. And he climbed up a mountain. And this is how the scripture puts it. Elijah got up to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, to the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." So what would you say if you're God? Probably not this. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," God told him. This is Mount Sinai, a really rugged place. You're totally alone. And you're hearing voices. The voice of God says, "Go out, because I'm coming by." And as Elijah stood there, God passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But God was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire. But God was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He probably had a cave that looked something like this. And he was hiding. He didn't know what to do. He was literally in the mountain when he was facing the mountain of those who wanted to take his life. The good news of Jesus Christ is that the mountain does not win. There is hope beyond what may seem to be an insurmountable problem in your life. So I'd like you to say it with me again. With Christ, the mountain does not win. This is what it looks like, what Elijah might have seen from the mouth of the cave. This picture, I feel God in this picture. Can you just sense that you're there by yourself and you're communing with God and God starts talking to you? Having been in the mountains, I can imagine that happening. And Jesus said this about the mountains that we face. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as a little mustard seed, about that big, you could say to the mountain, 'Move from here to here,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." What a great encouragement for us. It doesn't mean you're going to take Mount Sinai and lift it up and throw it over there. But the mountain that you're facing in your life, that mountain that can move, because nothing is impossible with God. You go back to the serene picture of Moraine Lake, and you know that God made it out of nothing. The energy that it took is the energy that can remove your mountain. So a mountain, God in nature, it can be desperation. That may be what you're feeling right now as you come to church to worship and find some encouragement. I hope you get it as you leave here and as you talk with each other. Desperation. I know knew a guy, Marilyn and I did, a fabulous guy named Clyde. And his story I think of very often, even though this happened probably 15, 20 years ago. Clyde was the treasurer of a church that we were a part of, a kind man, very good at his job. But he got sick, and I went to see him in the hospital, and they didn't know what was going on because he had been healthy before. And as I'm sitting with him, his wife Yvonne, she was gone for some reason at that moment. The doctor came in and gave him some bad news and said, Mr. Martin, you have liver cancer. You have about 3 months to live. That's desperation. Talk about a mountain that won't move. But Clyde found something else, and it's given me chills remembering what he said. He said, I don't want this, but I accept it. And about 3 months later, he did pass. But all that time, he was steadfast in his belief that the mountain that he was facing was not going to win. And even though it cost his life, it didn't win. His spirit stayed the same. And it's a testimony, it's a witness that I think about and I feel right now. A mountain can be desperation or it can be inspiration. It's your choice. It's your choice. So, inspirational mountain experiences. Any of you going to the mountains this summer vacation? How many of you want to now after seeing all the pictures? Right. I'd like to go tomorrow myself. The Holy Spirit is our Sherpa. This is how it works. You know what a Sherpa is? It's a race of people in Nepal, but a Sherpa has come to be called the guide that takes you up the mountain. Sherpas are specially trained and equipped to guide people up the mountain. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary was the first known person to go to the top of Mount Everest, the world's highest mountain. But he had somebody with him. It was his Sherpa, his guide from Nepal, Tenzing Norgay. And on the way up, it almost didn't happen, because Sir Edmund Hillary from New Zealand, he fell into an ice crevice. And as his rope was going down, his Sherpa acted quickly and stopped the rope from extending all the way. And it saved Sir Hillary's life. And together, they ascended to the peak for the first time anyone had done that. We're not alone in this. The Holy Spirit is our Sherpa. He is our guide who will take us through the mountain that we face. Remind yourself of that when you get bad news or when you're dealing with something that seems insurmountable. God is in nature. Again, God made it all. God is all around us. Take the time to soak it in. We're so busy and going so fast and so preoccupied with our screen life that we can miss what's happening, what's unfolding right around us. And God is there. God is in the bird, the insect, the trees, the wind, the sun, the rain, the mountains, the shore, wherever you go. Remember that God is with you and will never leave you alone. That God goes before you. Wherever you go, God's already there. An evangelist told me there's nowhere God can go because there's nowhere God ain't. That's a neat way to think about it. The Holy Spirit is our Sherpa. God is in nature, and we are companions on the journey. Like Sir Edmund Hillary, we don't take that trip alone. We go with our fellow church members, the body of Christ. We need each other. We're here to be companions along the way. And maybe you fall, and maybe your mountain overwhelms you. You've got brothers and sisters to help you lift up and to get over that mountain. There are four things you can do with a mountain that faces you of desperation. You can go over it. You can go under it. You can go around it. Or you can go through it. With God's help, you can do one of those. And say it with me again. With Christ, the mountain does not win. Let's try it again. With Christ, the mountain does not win. I close you with one of the most beautiful lines of poetry that I know. Gerard Manley Hopkins, a Jesuit priest and poet, put it this way. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. I hope you can find God in nature this summer and that your mountains can be inspiration instead of desperation. Let's pray together. What people are facing, oh God, maybe it feels like a mountain. Maybe it feels like it's right on top of them. You assure us that you won't leave us alone with it, that you will help us find our way, that the Holy Spirit will be our Sherpa, our guide. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being present and for helping us through all the trials, tribulations, and making all of our joys and celebrations that much fuller. It's in your name we pray. Amen.